I know that this joke exists in several versions, and some of you will know it, but it's a worthwhile one and it makes my point, so here goes. Two guys are walking in the jungle. They relax and they sit down, and all of a sudden they see at the edge of the clearing there's a tiger. And one of them begins to lace up his shoes. And his friend says to him, "What, are you crazy? You can't outrun a tiger." And he says, "Don't have to. Just have to outrun you." Now, the point of that joke, of course, is that when survival is at stake, morality means nothing. And that's what's so surprising in some ways about today's Torah portions. But you will see that it has echoes through Jewish history and a lesson for us today. The Israelites are about to leave Egypt. Survival is at stake. You can imagine that they are terrified on the one hand of the God they don't know, who wreaked all these plagues, including the slaying of the firstborn. Darkness, hail, locusts, frightening things. And the Pharaoh, who has enslaved them for hundreds of years. And all they want is for all of this to be over. And yet, what does God and Moses do? He starts to instruct them about the laws of Pesach. So when your children ask you these questions, this is what you say. And this is what you eat. And these are the sacrifices you make. And you can imagine, anybody who has ever been a teacher knows that if dismissal is at 3 o'clock, anything you say at 3:15 is lost. The kid can't pay attention when they're about to leave class. And here they're about to leave Egypt under terrible conditions, and God still thinks they can listen to the laws of Passover. That idea, the idea that survival alone should not be the only and overwhelming concern, that idea has threaded itself throughout our history. I know that you know this, but let's revisit again the astonishment that in the concentration camps, people had Torah study groups. That Leo Beck, a name that might be known to many of you, that Leo Beck used to give lessons on Plato and Socrates and the Talmud in Auschwitz. And you don't give lessons unless there are people who want to take the class. On the brink of death, in the worst situation in the world, Jews said, "We still have to learn." That same attitude, by the way, I recently read in an interview with the literary critic Clive James, who is dying. And he said, although he is not Jewish, in a very Jewish phrase, "When you don't know how much time you have left, you'd best spend that time reading." Not, I think, the way many of us would end that sentence. He didn't say you may as well blow everything on your credit cards. Or go off to Fiji. For a morally serious people, in every situation you're morally serious. And we have to remind ourselves about that today. There is a tremendous emphasis in the Jewish community on survival. We are always talking politics, and politics in our world is a very high percentage the survival of the state of Israel. And that is understandable, and certainly I participate in that conversation, and I know all of you do, and I'm not suggesting for a minute that that isn't a crucial conversation. But if it is the only conversation, then we betray our purpose. The Jewish idea is not to survive alone. Remember, God does not say through Moses to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." You may have heard that, but that's not what God says, or at least it's not all that God says. Shlach et ami v'ya'avduni, let my people go so they may serve me. That's what God says. I don't want them to be free just so they can be free. I want them to be free to do something in this world, to have a purpose, to have a mission, to live serious lives. So if we talk about how Israel has to survive and not what Israel should be, or the peril to the Jews, but not who the Jews ought to be, even in the face of that peril, then we're missing the whole point. I read many years ago from the naturalist Edward Abbey the comment that growth for growth's sake is the ideology of the cancer cell. To say something should expand just for the sake of seeing it expand, that's not worthwhile. For the Jewish people to live just so the Jewish people can live, a lot of peoples in the world have disappeared and the world is still here. The point is for the Jewish people to live for a reason, because we have something to say and something to do. Because our survival matters to the world, because we make a difference. If that's not true, then our survival as individuals might matter, but as a people, what does it matter? Parents, parents, parents. Are there no parents? There are many children and no parents. It's okay, there's an usher. But this theme gets very easily lost. We know how our hearts quicken whenever there's a threat. And you and I both know that if we talk about threats or anti-Semitism or danger to the Jewish people, everybody perks up. But if we talk about education or religious pluralism in Israel or the ethics of an army or what it is that our children should grow up to be, the issue doesn't have quite the same resonance to our ears. And that's why it's so important to realize this morning that at the very moment of our history, when Jews cared most about survival, when all of Jewish history could have disappeared into the sea all at once, they were talking Torah. They were discussing sacrifices. They were anticipating what questions children would ask hundreds of years, thousands of years from that moment. And it doesn't even say if your children ask. It says when your children ask, because they will. You're here this morning because you believe that our tradition is about something. We're not just Jewish so that we can live. We're Jewish so we can live a certain way, so we can care about certain things, so that we can open our hearts to one another and to God, and our lives will be lived with some spiritual spark that we would lose if we lost our tradition. That's why we're here. And that's what our parsha reminds us. It is true that the prerequisite for living a good life is living. But you and I both know that the quantity of one's life says nothing about its quality. when I was a child and I was in a camp on the East Coast, I had a very bad counselor. He was arbitrary and difficult. He was just a pain in the neck. And when my parents came up on visiting day, like every good Jewish kid, I complained. And I said to my father, the thing that bothers me most about this guy is that doesn't matter what you say to him to object to what he says, he always tells you, I'm older. That was his answer to everything, I'm older. Now I think back, he was probably a teenager, but then he was saying, I'm older. And I never forget what my father said to me. He said, next time he tells you that, tell him that the saddest person in the Torah was Methuselah. Because all it says about Methuselah is he lived 969 years and begat sons and daughters. He said, imagine living that long and not having a single achievement worth recording. Doesn't matter if you're older. Matters what you've done with your life. The same thing's true of the Jewish people. We talk all the time about the fact that we're thousands of years old, and it's great to be thousands of years old. But that's not why we're special. We're not special because we survived. We're special because of the reason we survived. We survived because we have lived the kind of life that we understood God wanted us to live, of learning, of goodness, of spirit, of courage, and of faith. That's why we're here. And only if we live that kind of life will we continue to be here and continue to deserve to be here. So remember, as our ancestors were about to leave Egypt, as our predecessors sat in concentration camps, they learned Torah. They lived and they died as Jews. And if we do the same, so will our descendants. Shabbat Shalom.